again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a bright, shiny, beautiful day in Vancouver, but have the opportunity to speak with a colleague who's not quite as fortunate on the east coast of the U.S. They've been hammered by snow this past week, as many of you have likely heard. The colleague I'll be speaking with is Neethal Applebaum, who's an organizational psychologist in a research faculty position at the Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine, specifically in the Office of Assessment and Evaluation Studies. And Neethal has a paper coming out in the March 2016 issue of Medical Education, along with her co-authors, entitled The Effect of Power, Leadership, and Psychological Safety on Resident Event Reporting. Neethal, thanks, first of all, for making the time to chat with me, especially given the weather trials that your region has been going through.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful for the opportunity. And yes, we are digging ourselves out on the East Coast.
Very glad to hear it. The paper, the title alone, I want to come back to, because the effect of power, leadership, and psychological safety on resident event reporting includes a lot of terms that we should probably unpack a little bit for our listeners, given that they don't have the advantage of the paper in front of them necessarily. Can I start with the focal point in adverse event reporting, specifically in your instance by residents? It's obviously become something that we value greatly in many of the healthcare systems around the world, moving beyond the don't tell culture of covering up and hiding errors. Can you tell our listeners a bit about what is expected in terms of adverse event reporting at your institution or your neck of the woods?
Actually, that stems as to why the study came to fruition, or kind of helped support along the study. Our health system is actually looking to increase resident event reporting. And being in the Office of Assessment and Evaluation Studies, one of the components was coming up with an evaluation plan of, you know, what they're doing in their efforts. And that included event reporting through the formal reporting system. But my number one goal always when it comes to organizational research is always going back to the literature. So going back and seeing what have other institutions found, what have other studies looked at when it came to reporting adverse events. And I think that's where it all stemmed. So in our context, we're looking at reporting through the formal system, but we realized that reporting adverse events kind of ranged from formal reporting systems to telling a colleague, telling within the department. So there are both informal and formal ways in which residents, as well as other healthcare providers, kind of view reporting. But the focus of ours was just capturing the intention, because we knew we weren't seeing the behavior, but what was the underlying reasoning for it in terms of the intention to report?
And how adverse does adverse have to be before the expectation would arise that somebody should be contributing a formal report?
So when we had worked with performance improvement within the health system, even near misses, they wanted to hear about them. So the goal within the system was to capture anything that could even potentially lead to an adverse event, and then kind of trend it and see from a systematic perspective what could they do on their end to put in system change. So it wasn't only things that had actually occurred, but even the potential of it occurring. They wanted to hear about it.
Okay. And so you were trying to explore why this wasn't occurring, and power, leadership, and psychological safety are three of what I would imagine to be countless things that could have an impact. What was it about those three concepts that led you to believe they were high priority? And in answering, I'd appreciate it if you could tell the listeners a little bit about how you're thinking about or defining each of those terms.
Yeah, so I can start out by kind of going over how I define them. So psychological safety, I actually looked at for my master's thesis as well as for this project. It was actually my dissertation, this project. So psychological safety I looked at for a while, and it's essentially the belief that you can express yourself without a fear of negative consequences. So find that especially people of low status, so I define that as people who may not have as much power within the institution, can feel some anxiety or fear when you're taking interpersonal risks, such as reporting an event or asking for help or even proposing new ideas. You may have this fear of being labeled ignorant, incompetent, or disruptive. And this was especially important and interesting to me within the context of healthcare, just knowing things that I'd heard about the hidden curriculum and just the culture in general within healthcare. So that's how I define psychological safety. For power distance, I think it depends when you look in the literature as to how people look at power distance. I looked at it from the individual level, so just the perceptions that someone would have regarding the unequal distributions of power and status within the health system. That's how I defined it. And then leader inclusiveness, I was interested in looking at, well, what's the attending role in creating or impacting psychological safety? So looking at how open, available, and accessible, those were the three main focal points. Residents perceived their attendings of being of them, how that's impacting their psychological safety and that belief that they could express themselves. So those were the three points. When I first started thinking about this for my project, for my dissertation, I think one of the big things that you see working in healthcare is there may be a knee-jerk reaction to think about technology as a solution. So when we started this project, we actually bought a new software for reporting, and there was a belief that the old software wasn't as great and this new one would help increase resident event reporting. And the more I looked into the literature and the more that I spoke to people, specifically the residents, you came to realize that there are other predictors or antecedents of reporting intention, and one of them being psychological safety. So that's how I started down that path. And then piecing together, well, what were other researchers finding regarding psychological safety? And you see that environment and leadership are two factors that can predict a follower's sense of psychological safety.
In responding, you used a number of words like sense and belief and perceiving, and these are topics that, at least with power, if we think about the resident relationship with the system or with their preceptors, at some objective level, every resident who's at the same level has sort of the same degree of authority within the system, but there are obvious differences in terms of whether or not they perceive themselves to be acting appropriately and whether or not they're given or perceive themselves to be given particular degrees of authority. So that really does require you getting data from the individuals in terms of what they believe, as opposed to being able to look simply at external data that might be available. So maybe I can ask you to, again, tell our listeners a bit about how you managed to measure those seemingly complex topics.
Mm-hmm. So we had used validated instruments for the study in general, and like you said, because we're dealing with perceptions as well as belief systems, we went directly to the source and we asked residents what their intentions were and, you know, what their levels of psychological safety and how inclusive their attendings were of them and their perceptions of that. And I agree, we could have gone by observing, let's say, attending behaviors with residents. But in a sense, it almost, within the leadership literature, for example, it begs the question, is it the actual leader's behaviors or sometimes the perceptions of the followers? And we were really interested in the perceptions of the followers since we were considering the behaviors that they would be enacting afterwards. So the method we used was paper and pencil, and we went to their grand rounds and their conferences and we asked them. And I'm sure anyone else who does research, especially survey or quantitative research with this population, it's difficult to get the time and the attention to do this type of research. So it was really important to create a study design that allowed us to be face-to-face with them and capture the data that way.
And having done all that, did you find that your hypotheses were fulfilled? Were there any surprises in your data with respect to what was influencing people's willingness to, or at least intention to, report adverse events?
I wouldn't say there was a surprise. It was nice, I can say that much, to see what you were hypothesizing would be related actually coming up statistically. That was a great thing, especially for it being a dissertation. I remember bringing this up to a resident, and I think the reaction I got was, well, yeah, that is how it is. And it's almost as though a lot of these relationships, you see them within the health system, but then seeing it as a model and then seeing the weights associated with it and how much influence it does play, and the fact that it's not just a constant, that the environment and the way that leadership interacts with residents does have an influence on some of these larger issues that we're trying to grapple with.
And did any of these factors prove to be stronger than others, or are there things that you would prioritize that faculty pay attention to when they're trying to increase the rate of reporting?
Mm-hmm. So I would say, just looking at the model alone, I think focusing on the leader inclusiveness, I think not only do you have greater control over that aspect, but I think you have an engaged audience with clinical faculty in that you can develop them and help them understand that being just open, available, and accessible to residents and making that explicit with them does have an impact on their psychological safety. I think sometimes leaders perceive that they are doing those behaviors, but it's the perception of it, and then making it explicit that would be key. So engaging GME in that conversation, graduate medical education, as well as health system leadership of what does that look like and what are the expectations we can kind of put forward. So I would say that would be a huge priority, not to say that the power distance that residents or low status members perceive in the organization isn't important, and it obviously is, but I think the leader inclusiveness may be a great first step.
It raises a bit of a dilemma in that you indicated that the people might feel like they're being inclusive and as a result may not be able to spontaneously recognize how they could do such things differently. If the style of leadership is critically important, as well as a couple of the other issues that you've identified, what do you see as the most immediate implications for this work in terms of what you advise a medical school or a hospital or individual faculty to do to try to improve upon the rate of reporting that you're hoping to encourage?
So I think one, it would be the faculty development aspect of how do you engage the faculty in being open, available, and accessible? And then how do you create that organizationally in terms of creating spaces to talk about these factors? So whether it's Grand Rounds or M&M or any sort of forum in which the residents can talk about these intentions, reporting events, or even increasing their psychological safety. I know from a faculty point, just being available for consultation or being explicit in the fact that residents can come and speak to them, I think that would be fantastic on its own.
And I know that you did this work as part of your dissertation, and often that leads people to want to do nothing else on that topic once they're out and free and clear. But I also imagine that there are a number of other variables that might influence things like event reporting. And so I'm wondering what your thoughts are in terms of what else you think would be high priority to build into the model that you're developing in terms of getting a full understanding of what the barriers and facilitators are for this sort of behavior.
I think from the systems perspective, there's a technology piece to this as well. What is the role of the adverse reporting systems that I think a lot of health systems are putting in place? I have a colleague here who does human factors work, and I know that's a huge part of it, especially when the healthcare providers are strapped for time within the environment. So what are the environmental barriers? Another large one is the feedback loop. So once these reports are put in, then what's occurring? Is there any type of feedback to the individual or even the greater system? And then the impact of that feedback. I know a lot of the conversation that I've heard here, at least anecdotally, it feels like you're sometimes putting things into a black box and you don't know what's occurred afterwards. So how does that impact someone's willingness or intention to report an event?
Does sound like you've got a lot of great leads there. And do you intend to follow up on some of these? Or are you moving on to other areas of exploration now?
No, I definitely hope to keep working on it. The way that we typically operate, being in the position we are in School of Medicine, as the project develops within the organization, we get the opportunities to study it from an organizational science perspective. So I'm hoping now that we have a new system that we can go back and look at the different groups and see what is happening. I know when we finished the project end of this, we had trained two of the residency groups on event reporting and what it means to the system, how do you actually do it, etc. The count at the end was still stagnant. It hadn't grown in any way. And the idea was we wanted to increase resident event reporting. And I think this provides an opportunity to show, well, here's something else that we could look at, the whole power distance, leader inclusiveness, psychological safety aspect, not just the technology aspect. So I think with interventions to increase those factors in terms of leader inclusiveness, psychological safety, I'm curious to see if you would see a change within the system and the counts of reports that go in.
That certainly seems like it'll be the end game. So I'll wrap up by wishing you the best of luck. I'm sure many of our listeners look forward to hearing how that work evolves and learning from it and adapting your insights into their own system. I'll just remind them, I've been speaking with Neethal Applebaum, who's at Virginia Commonwealth University in the U.S., about a paper entitled The Effect of Power, Leadership, and Psychological Safety on Resident Event Reporting, that you'll find in the March 2016 issue of Medical Education. Thanks for listening, and thanks again, Neethal, for making yourself available.
Thank you, Kevin.